This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه آمين وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue with our Friday evening halaqa, where we're going through the seerah of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so far in the Medina stage, we have covered the four main projects that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embarked upon when he had arrived in Al-Medina. And so we spoke about the building of the masjid, the establishment of the ties of brotherhood between the Muhajirun and the Ansar. We spoke about the covenant that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam designed. And finally, we spoke about the establishment of a military. Now, before we get into the next main event in the seerah, and so usually the writers of seerah, after talking about the hijrah, they move on to the next main event, and that is the Battle of Badr. Before getting into that, it would be good to cover some main events that occurred between the hijrah and the Battle of Badr. And so we're looking at approximately 2 years, because the Battle of Badr took place in the second year of the hijrah. So in between that, between the hijrah and the battle, let's look at some of the main events that had occurred. And so today we're going to talk about the marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. And next week we'll look at some of the tashri'at, some of the main legislations that were mandated upon the Muslims, that were revealed by Allah during this period of the first 2 years of the hijrah. And then after that, we'll get into the battles and the Battle of Badr. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Aisha radiallahu anha towards the end of his time in Mecca. But he did not consummate the marriage until he moved to Al-Medina. And so he married her when she was at the age of 6 in Mecca, but he did not consummate that marriage. He did not live with her until he moved to Al-Medina, and this was in the first year of the hijrah, and specifically in the month of Shawwal. So we can see it was very early on, as soon as he migrated to Al-Medina. Now, the age of Aisha radiallahu anha, as we mentioned, was very young. And this is an issue that many raise against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, saying that our Prophet married a child. And so for this reason, it is important for us to be able to counter this claim. And we'll do that by first going through the reasons for why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married the women that he married. And then we'll look at his marriage to Aisha radiallahu anha on its own. And so the enemies of Islam tried to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They tried to attack his personality, to try to discredit him. And so they talk about his marriage to Aisha radiallahu anha. They talk about how he married so many different women. They try to paint this picture of him being a womanizer. And so let us look at the married life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just looking at the chronological order. From the time he was young until the time he passed away. You know, just looking at his married life is enough to refute this claim. And so let's look at his married life. It begins when he was a young man. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have any intimate relations with any women all the way until the age of 25. And we have to remember that in the environment in which he lived in, you know, the days of Jahiliyyah, and we spoke about this previously, adultery, fornication was rampant, widespread. And there's a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha in which she mentions the various kinds of intimate relations that men would have with women, and how, you know, there was fornication, there was prostitution, etc., and how this was normal. And yet our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not involved in any of that. It was a corrupt environment. And yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not involved in any of it all the way until the age of 25. So what happens at the age of 25? He gets married for the first time. And so who does he get married to? Khadija radiallahu anha, and we spoke about his marriage to her. He gets married at the age of 25 to a woman who is 15 years older than him. Khadija radiallahu anha at the time was 40 years old. Not only that, but she was either a widow or basically she had been divorced. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being from the noble family that he was from, he could have chosen from any of the women in Mecca that he had wished. If he was interested in fulfilling his personal desires, he would have chosen for himself a young, beautiful woman. Not a woman who is 15 years older than him. After that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remains in this marriage with Khadija radiallahu anha until he reaches the age of 50. Now, men with strong desires for women would have those desires from a young age until the age of about 50. And yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained married to only one woman, and that was Khadija radiallahu anha, until she passes away. And so imagine, from the age of 25 to the age of 50, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remains with this one woman, who, as we mentioned, is already 15 years older than him. After that, Khadija radiallahu anha passes away, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remains single for some time. And then later on, he gets married to Sauda radiallahu anha, Sauda bint Zam'a, who is also another widow. And the reason why he married her was that she had migrated to Habasha, to Abyssinia, and when she came back to Mecca, her husband had passed away. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to care for his companions. And he thought, she's a widow, she's alone. And so he married her for this reason. Again, Sauda radiallahu anha is not some young woman. He marries her when she is in her 50s. And we know this because later on in Al-Madinah, Sauda radiallahu anha gives up her knight to Aisha radiallahu anha because she was very old. And then after that, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrates to Al-Madinah, in the last 10 years of his life, this is when he marries many women. When he migrates to Al-Madinah, and so imagine, he is now 53 years old. For the next 10 years until he passes away, he marries many women. To the extent that when he passed away, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left behind 9 widows. He left behind 9 widows. So the question is, why did this change occur? What's the reason for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to all of a sudden marry so many women? Is it as the enemies of Islam say, that he was a womanizer? No, because we've already refuted that claim. Right? So why did this change occur? And what was the reason for him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, marrying so many women? There are several reasons. First of all, to forge alliances with different tribes. We mentioned how Arabia was a very tribal society. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to devote all of his efforts to the spread of Islam. Everything that he would do, even his decisions in marriage, would be based on that benefit for Islam. And so he wouldn't do anything for his own personal satisfaction, for his own personal desires. And so the reason why, one of the reasons why he married many women was to bring those tribes that he would marry from, to bring them closer to Islam. An example of this was his marriage to Juwayriya radiallahu anha. And so she was from the tribe of Banu al-Mustaliq. After he married her, the entire tribe became Muslim. We also have the example of Habiba radiallahu anha. And so she was one of those who migrated to Al-Habasha with her husband, who ended up apostating. He became a Christian. And so she went through a very tough time. And she was the daughter of who? The daughter of Abu Sufyan, one of the staunch enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So later on, her husband passes away, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends a letter to An-Najashi, asking him to marry the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Habiba. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to marry her out of sympathy for her. And also to bring Abu Sufyan closer to Islam and to soften his stance towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is exactly what ended up happening. In fact, when Abu Sufyan heard about the news that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had married Habiba, his daughter, he said, "And who is better? And who could possibly be better to marry her than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" And so Abu Sufyan knew about the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so that's how he looked at it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is from a noble lineage, from Banu Hashim, and he was proud that his daughter is marrying into this family. But his issue with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was over religion, over the deen. And so the point here is that this softened his stance towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And eventually we know that Abu Sufyan later on, he embraces Islam. Also, among the reasons the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married many women was his care for his companions. Like the example we gave of Sauda radiallahu anha. Another example is Salama radiallahu anha. She was also one of those who had made hijrah to Al-Habasha. And when she came back with her husband to Arabia and they migrated to Al-Madinah, her husband passed away, Abu Salama. And Salama radiallahu anha had a very loving relationship with her husband. And so when he passed away, she was extremely saddened and, you know, extremely depressed. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught her a dua to make. That, oh Allah, ukhlifni fi musibati. Give me something better than this calamity that has befallen me. Salama radiallahu anha wondered, you know, how is that possible? How can I possibly be given something better than Abu Salama? She was in love with him. But she said her iman in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made her to make that dua. And so not long after that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marries her, and Salama radiallahu anha says, that was the answer of my dua. And without a doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced her with someone far better than her husband, Abu Salama. The point here is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took care of his companions. And so if one of them passes away, who better for their wives to marry than him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what's interesting to note with all of these marriages was that all of these women were older in age. It's not that he was aiming for some young beautiful women and that was, you know, what was motivating him and driving him to get married to these women. Thirdly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to strengthen his ties with his closest companions. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a strong brotherly feeling towards his companions. So he wanted to add family ties to this Islamic brotherhood. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was with his companions in the thick and the thin. They were together in moments of ease, in moments of hardship. They had spent time at home. They had spent time traveling. They had spent time on the battlefields. And so there was this bond, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to make this bond even stronger. And so what do we notice about certain marriages? That they were to his closest companions, to the daughters of his closest companions. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam marries his daughter Aisha. Umar radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam marries his daughter Hafsa radiallahu anha. And these are the two closest companions to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also married his own daughters to some of his closest companions. And so Uthman radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married one of his daughters to him. When she passes away, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam weds Uthman radiallahu anhu, another daughter of his. To the point where when she passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I had 99 daughters, I would marry them to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu an, one after the other. We also know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha to who? To Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu. And so this is one of the reasons the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would marry the women that he married. Fourthly, to convey the deen of Allah. And so the deen of Allah is not only taken from the Quran, but also from what? From the Sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we learn about his life and his Sunnah as a leader and as a teacher and as an imam and as a fighter and also as a family man and as a husband. We have hundreds of companions to narrate to us what sort of leader the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, what sort of teacher he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. But how many companions do we have who can narrate to us how his family life was? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have that many children who survived after him. In fact, when he passed away, he only had one daughter left. And that was Fatima radiallahu anha. And even she passed away shortly after him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So who would convey to us how the family life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was? Obviously, it would be his wives. Now, if there were several wives, then if one of them forgets, then the other one will remember. And so, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only had one wife, it would be difficult for that one wife to recall everything. Also, since she is the only one, she could easily be discredited because it's only one source. And that is why the enemies of Islam, they like to pick on certain companions. Why? Because they narrated to us so many ahadith. And so you have the example of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. If you can bring down Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, you have brought down a huge part of Islam. He is the one who narrated to us thousands of hadith more than any other companion. Why do they pick on him? Because he is one. If you discredit him, you can discredit the entire deen. And so, likewise, if it was only one wife, you could easily discredit her. But if you have many wives, how can you discredit that? Also, the family life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one of the most important aspects of his sunnah, because it relates to each and every single one of us. Not every one of us will be an imam. Not every one of us will be a leader. Not every single one of us will be a teacher. But every single one of us will be a member of a family, will be a father, or will be a husband. So how will we learn how the conduct of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with his family? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had many wives so that they could convey to us this body of knowledge of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived in his private life. And so many of the sunnah that we have narrated to us related to how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would eat, how he would sit, how he would treat his servants, how he would treat his wives, how he would spend his nights. All of that has been narrated to us through who? Through the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, the most controversial marriages of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his marriage to Aisha radiallahu anha and also Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha. And the reasons for that, first of all, Aisha radiallahu anha, we already mentioned, because of her young age. As for Zainab bint Jahsh, then it was controversial because of how the Prophet ﷺ married her after she was married to his adopted son, Zayd radiallahu anhu. But subhanAllah, when we look at these two marriages, we see that they are both exceptional. These are the two targeted marriages of the enemies of Islam, and yet these are the only two marriages that were not initiated by the Prophet ﷺ, but rather they were divinely inspired. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who told the Prophet ﷺ to marry these two women. And so with regards to Zainab bint Jahsh, we have the ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab that mentions her marriage. And in fact, there is no one mentioned from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ by name besides Zayd radiallahu anhu in the entire Quran. فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِنْهَا وَطَرًا. And this is in Surah Al-Ahzab. As for Aisha radiallahu anha, it was divinely inspired through a dream that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had. And this is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Aisha radiallahu anha that Jibreel came to me and I saw you covered by a curtain. And when I opened the curtain, I saw you. And Jibreel told me, this is your wife in the dunya and in the akhirah. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw this dream twice. And we know that the dreams of the prophets, the anbiya, are revelation from Allah that they are supposed to act upon. Now there are two kinds of people who will attack these marriages. One is a Muslim who is weak in his iman. You know, how could the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam marry such a young woman? And so the reply to these Muslims would be that if you're a Muslim, you submit and you don't question and you don't object. And so this was a command from Allah for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wasn't acting on his own. And so a Muslim is one who submits and does not object. As for the other group of people, they are the kuffar. And so for them, why do they attack these marriages? Because they want to attack the personality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so their problem is not this marriage in particular, but rather because they don't believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being a messenger from Allah. And so the issue of the marriage of Aisha radiallahu anha is just an excuse. And so even if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not married her, they would still be attacking him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the problem is deeper than that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the problem that his opponents have with him. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ. We know, O Muhammad, that what they say about you, it grieves you. It saddens you. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. However, it is not you that they are denying. It's not about you, O Muhammad. Don't worry about what they say about you. It's not about you, but rather But rather, it is the ayat of Allah that the wrongdoers have a problem with. And so they are not disbelieving in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but rather they are disbelieving in the message that he has brought. And so they are only attacking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he is the messenger. They are not attacking his personality just because of his personality, but because he was conveying the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nonetheless, having said that, we can easily counter their attack concerning this marriage of his to Aisha radiallahu anha. And so first of all, we say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not marry any young woman or even any virgin woman besides Aisha radiallahu anha. It was an exceptional case. If you want to look at the marriages initiated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and not at those marriages that were initiated from above the seven heavens, then look at his marriages besides that of Aisha and Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anhuma. You will see how he married ordinary women who were actually much older than him, and they were widows. Secondly, we say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 54 years old when he consummated the marriage with Aisha radiallahu anha in Al-Madinah. Yes, he was 54 years old. However, he was young even though he was old in age. How? First of all, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam met one of the delegations in prior to the bay'ah of Al-Aqaba, we spoke about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going from one tribe to another, from the tribes that would come for Hajj, presenting to them Islam at Mina. One of the tribes that he met, the tribe of Rabi'a, at that time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 50 years old. 50 years old. The head of the tribe went back to his people and referred to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a young man. He said, "I met a very young man." Why? Because although he was old in age, it didn't appear on him. Secondly, when Anas radiallahu an narrated the story of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we mentioned this as well, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made his hijrah to Al-Madinah during that journey, Anas radiallahu an says that when the two of them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, were traveling and they would come across different people, the people would recognize Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, but they would not recognize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would refer to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as an old man. And they would say he is with another man who is young. Ibn Hajar rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says regarding this, that this shows that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his age would show on him. On the other hand, it would not show on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What do we know about the age difference between Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It was only an age difference of 2 years. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was older than Abu Bakr by only 2 years. And yet, everyone is saying that we have saw and we have seen an old man, referring to Abu Bakr, who is with a younger man. Thirdly, we know from the Sunnah that the Prophet ﷺ used to race with his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. And so one day Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that I had a race with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I beat him. When I started to gain some fat, Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, when she started to gain some weight, I had another race with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he beat me. In this hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha says that she had gained some weight. And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam beat her. What does it show us? That even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam may be in his mid-50s or late-50s, he was still very energetic, very healthy. And we also see this in the battles that he had fought, all of which were fought when he was in his 50s and even early 60s. So all of this shows us that although a man can be old in age, he can be young in his energy, in his personality, and therefore there would be no issue for him to marry a younger woman. And we can also add to this that for many centuries after that, you know, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as for many centuries after that, it was completely normal among all people of the world, and this is documented, it was completely normal for all the various people from all various civilizations and nations for them to marry younger women. It was never an issue. If it was an issue, then the enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he was alive, they would have used this to discredit him. But it wasn't an issue. For centuries after that, again, you don't find anywhere in the attacks of the enemies of Islam throughout history where they would pick at this issue. It was only in this modern era that it has become an issue. Why? Because many people are following this Western liberal secular worldview and mindset that tells us that it's not normal for an older man to marry a younger woman. Now, I'll conclude with one last point, and that is, why was the marriage of Aisha radiallahu anha so important? One of the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us as an ummah was this marriage to Aisha radiallahu anha. And so it would have been a disaster if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not married her. How? Aisha radiallahu anha had a mind of a scholar. She was bright. She was intelligent. And she was inquisitive in nature. She liked to ask questions. And she describes herself. She says that the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to hear a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and immediately they would submit and they would act by it. She says, but not me. I would question the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we have many examples of this recorded in so many different ahadith that Aisha radiallahu anha would narrate. She would object. She would say, why, Ya Rasulullah? Right? And so Aisha radiallahu anha, being the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact being the most beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Khadija radiallahu anha, she had this informal relationship with the Messenger of Allah, and so she would question him. While the other companions, they would not dare do that. The other companions would not dare to question the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so someone who had this private relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was needed that we had someone like this to ask about certain things, and sometimes even argue with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, in a respectful manner. You know, we don't say that she was disrespectful. No, she would argue in a respectful manner. And so we learned so much because of that. We learned so much because of that. And that's why Aisha radiallahu anha, she comes among the top scholars of Islam. Because of the knowledge that she left behind. We have to also understand that her being young gave her that ability. Because then she also lived many years after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to convey this knowledge to the ummah. And so she comes among the top four narrators of hadith. And so we have Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, then we have Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and then we have Anas ibn Malik, and then in number four we have Aisha radiallahu anha, in terms of the number of ahadith that were narrated by the companions. And so this marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was unique. It was special. In fact, it also came as a surprise to her father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to propose for his daughter, mentioning the dream that he had seen, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "I'm your younger brother." And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Yes, you are my brother, and your daughter is suitable for me." And so he was saying this, again, as we said, he wasn't saying this as a personal statement, but rather, it was the dream that he had seen, and he knew that the dreams of the Anbiya are wahi, are revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so he wanted to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, we may not know what is good for us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no idea the blessing that this marriage would bring for our ummah, where we are benefiting until this very day. The knowledge that was left behind by Aisha radiallahu anha. And so with that, we come to the end of tonight's session. Insha'Allah ta'ala, next week we'll move on to some of the important tashri'at or legislations that were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this early period of the Medina stage, in the first 2 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Al-Medina. Until then, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa sallallahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.